In the gospel reading today, we hear about our Lord coming down from the mountain, and we are told that great crowds followed him. You have to ask yourself, if I were alive back then, would I have followed him? And then you have to ask yourself, why? Even if I would say, yeah, of course, I would follow him, why? Because he's a miracle worker? Because he teaches some pretty cool stuff? Because he wasn't like the scribes and Pharisees, he taught with authority and not like them? Because he was just a good guy? Why would we be following him? If we can put what we know today, we can say, because he's God. If our Lord was there, I want to be there. Now we have to look at the next step. If we would be following him, would we listen? Would we pay attention? I ask that because there are lots of people who hear the word of God and it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. We don't treat Jesus as God. We just treat him as though, well, that's a nice opinion, but I don't really need to pay attention. So we look at the gospel today and we see our Lord healing this leper initially. He touches him and then just simply says, I will it, you're healed. And we hear about this centurion, a pagan, a Roman soldier who comes to our Lord. Now keep in mind, the Roman soldiers at that point, the 10th Legion, is in Jerusalem. They're, from the Jewish perspective, they're the enemy. They're the ones who are oppressing the people, however you want to look at it. And this man comes and asks Jesus if he would heal his servant. Our Lord says, I'll come and heal your servant. And the man says, no. You don't need to come. He said, I'm a man under authority. If I tell one of my soldiers to go, he goes. If I tell him to come here, he comes here. If I tell him to do something, he does it. He said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus marveled and he said, I have never seen this kind of faith in Israel. At that point, Israel, the chosen people of God. Israel had the scriptures, the word of God, as they were at that time. And they didn't believe. Oh, they would say that they believe. Yeah, that's the word of God. Did it make any difference? How about us? We have the entire Bible. How often do we read it? At least back then, they could say, well, if I go to the synagogue, you know, I get to hear the scriptures. They didn't have Bibles as they were. They had these huge scrolls. So yeah, nobody had one in their home. I bet everybody here has a Bible in their house. How often does it get used? It's the word of God, and we pay it no attention. That's the part that we all have to look at. If this is the word of God, why don't I want to hear it? Why don't I want to read it? Why don't I want to know it? We have lots of people who give lip service to God, but our hearts oftentimes are far from him. So we think about it. In just a few minutes, we're going to have the consecration. Bread and wine are going to turn into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. How? At his word. Now you could look at it and say, well, I believe because the church said that. The church says that because Jesus said that. Church didn't make this up. The Lord said it, and that's why we believe it. When you go to confession, you hear the words, I absolve you from your sins, and your sins are gone because a spoken word, because Jesus said it. He gave his apostles the authority to forgive sin. His word has power. If we read what the psalmist says, he talks about creation. He said, God spoke and it came to be. Go back to the first page of the scriptures and it tells us God said, let there be light, and there was light, and so on. God spoke and it came to be. The word of God has power. The word of God is truth. Jesus told us the truth will set you free. But how many actually believe that? We have more than 75% of people who call themselves Catholic who say that they don't believe in the Holy Eucharist. In other words, they don't believe the word of God. Oh, you can say that, yeah, I believe the Bible's the inspired word of God, but yeah, that's hard to listen to. Who can endure it, right? So then we're going to pick and choose what we want to believe and what we don't. That's not an option. It's either the word of God or it's not. Every word that came from the mouth of Jesus is literally the word of God. He is God. He cannot speak falsehood. He cannot deceive. And we can't even use excuses like, well, but, I mean, the oldest of the books, I mean, those are 3,500 years old. Even the New Testament is 2,000 years old. This is the 21st century. Get with it. Sorry, the truth has not changed. The truth cannot change because the truth is a person, and that person is God, and God cannot change. So everything that's written in Scripture is truth. But then why don't we read it? It's the Word of God. And so if the truth is going to set us free, we need to know the truth. Now we can look even a little bit further than that. You could say, okay, we've got the Scriptures, but again, do I really pay attention to them? How often we hear the words, just like the Jewish people in the synagogues, say, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Heard it hundreds of times before. And so we let it go in one ear and out the other. In other words, it's just the Lord's opinion, and we don't really need to pay attention. Is it the Word of God, or is it not? Also have to understand, if you want to understand the New Testament, you first have to understand the Old Testament. Because the New Testament builds upon the Old. It's not something just entirely separate. Just as Catholicism is the fulfillment of Judaism, if you want to understand Catholicism, you have to understand the basics of Judaism, because this is the fulfillment of it. It's the completion of it. What God had revealed to the Jewish people, now he has completed in his Son. And so again, we need to make sure that we're reading the Scriptures. After all, it is exactly what we were commanded to do. Remember at the Transfiguration, the voice of the Father was heard. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Do we? So there are some options that you can think about. Father Michael Schmitz had something a few years back. I'm sure it's all up there still. The Bible in a year. So if you want to watch something and go through it with somebody, I think he gives some explanation, things like that, as he goes along. They're just cards that you can get the Bible in a year. Tells you what passages to read. You know, because you look at it and you think, oh, Leviticus is kind of boring. Well, they're not just reading straight through Leviticus. They'll have you read a chapter of Leviticus and then read a chapter from the gospel or something. So it's not just, you know, dry stuff that you're looking at. You can just start reading if you want. Even if you were to say, I will read the Bible for 10 minutes a day. It might take you a few years to get through it. That's okay. Read the Word of God. And when you get through it, start over again. Because each time you do this, you learn more and more. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Pretty soon you start noticing, wait a minute, this said this over here and that said that over there. And look, these things are connected. This isn't a commercial, but Ignatius Press just came out with a new Bible with some very good notes in it. The best translation of the scripture into English is the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. It's actually a Protestant translation. Make sure you get the Catholic edition, because remember, the Catholic Bible is the full Bible. The Protestant Bible is missing seven books. So make sure you get the right one. And if you want to really study it, get one with good notes and good cross references and things like that. So there are some very good resources that are out there to be able to read the scriptures and to be able to come to understand them and to know them. It is the Word of God. Again, think about it. The two most popular kinds of books in America are the self-help books or do-it-yourself books or whatever you want to call it, and biographies. Well, God gave us a how-to book. How to get to heaven, how to become a saint. It's all right there in the scriptures. So if you want how-to books, you've got one. If you want biographies, well, we've got God's biography. It's the self-revelation of God to us. It's all right there. So if we want to read the most popular kind of books, it's right there. Want to read the Word of God, it's right there. If you want something with authority, it's right there. If you want something that's going to form you, it's right there. You've got it all. But then we have to change what's going on in the inside. You can't just read this like it's simply another book, because it's God's Word. And therefore, it's different from anything else on the face of the earth. So we have to read it with faith. And we have to look at it and say, I need to do what God is asking me to do. I need to be willing to change to do what the Lord is asking. What has He told me to do? Again, just look at, we hear in the gospel, in the first reading today, St. Paul telling us that we need to be try to be at peace with people. We need to be practicing charity. I've been amazed at the number of Catholic people who have told me over the last few weeks that they're kind of happy about the fires out in California, because those people, they deserved it. It's like, really? Well, they're millionaires. Not all of them. There are almost a million homes that have been destroyed. Yeah, some of them were people that make movies, but even there, should we be rejoicing that something bad happened to them? Like, well, they've got millions of dollars, it's not a big deal. What if somebody who's living under the bridge were to look at your home that burned down and say, ah, they're middle class, big deal. They're not living under a bridge, they deserved it after all. Now, this is somebody's home. Even if they're not necessarily very good people, we still don't want to rejoice in something that's bad. So we need to pray for them. Even in that, we look at it and say, remember, Jesus told us, love your enemies, pray for your persecutors. Do we do that? St. Paul tells us not to be looking to take vengeance. How often in our anger do we look to get even with people? That's not the Christian way. We look at Jesus on the cross. He wasn't lashing out. He wasn't trying to get even with anybody. That's the example that we're supposed to be following. It's not popular, nor is it easy. But Jesus didn't ask us to be popular, nor did he ask us for something that was easy. He's asking us to become saints. He's asking us to be members of his mystical body. That's not an easy task. So if we want to know the will of God, yes, we need to pray. We need to read the scriptures. It's the word of God. And allow the word of God to have power in our lives. To be able to look at that word and say, this is what I need to live. This is what God has instructed me to do. If the word of God has such power that it can heal somebody without touching him, that can change bread and wine into the very person of Jesus Christ, that can forgive sin, that's the power of the Word of God. If it has that kind of power, then it has the power to change our lives, to help us to become the people God created us to be. So that's the challenge for us. Take the Bible off the shelf or off the table or wherever it is and open it up. Start reading it. And allow the Word of God, if it has the power to create, he spoke and it came to be, if it has the power to heal, if it has the power to do all these things, then listen to the Word of God and let it have power in your life.